Welcome to chapter 4 of the e-commerce series. We briefly touched upon the e-commerce market size, the current state of the e-commerce market size in India, and what could be the different factors which can combine together and keep fueling the growth. So in chapter 4, we'll talk about all the factors that are assisting the growth of the e-commerce industry in India. Now, the online retail growth in India and the factors assisting the growth. First is the high cost associated with brick and mortar stores. Now, let's say in the last couple of years, if you would have observed, there have been a rise in the number of bakery stores or cake shops across all cities put together. So you had a rise in the number of home chefs selling custom baked cakes and cookies. Now, let's say if you are an entrepreneur and you want to start your own business of, say, birthday cakes, anniversary cakes, or cookies and cupcakes. Now, what is more cost effective? Setting up a physical store where people could walk in and see different cakes and buy one, or setting up a website, or even selling on, say, WhatsApp or Instagram? Obviously, selling online is much, much cheaper. First, you don't need inventory, right? You could just create a catalog. So you could create sample cakes, for example, decorate them, click pictures, put it on your website or put it on your WhatsApp catalog or your Instagram profile and promote that first within your network of friends, family, co-workers, and maybe utilize paid advertising campaigns on Google and social media to get more people to view your product catalog and then place online orders for their birthdays, anniversaries, or celebrations at work or in home. So this is giving rise to more and more people wanting to start a new business or maybe a side hustle. Because the high cost associated with brick and mortar stores was a discouraging factor, because that was a high risk. You investing in a store, the rental, the interiors, the branding, the display, the inventory, and if you did not get enough orders, the business would be at loss and you would lose a lot of capital. That is not true for starting a small online venture. So more and more people want to sell online, start a business online, which is giving rise to the e-commerce sector in India. Then you have a busy lifestyle of people. People are busy at work, busy in with their studies, and hence they don't have the time. And even the travel part is a little painful at times. So you don't really want to go travel a few kilometers, park your car somewhere, go into multiple shops and browse for the products that you look to buy. Rather, you would go online and browse catalogs or product listings online, choose what you like and place orders. You want to avoid queues at shopping centers, at train stations, when you want to travel by a local transport. And then changing consumer behavior, especially in the last few years, right? You don't want to really venture out because you like the convenience and the ease of online shopping. And also because online, you could shop from anywhere. If you want to buy physically, you can only buy maybe within a few kilometers of where you live and work, or maybe from a far off place in the same city. You can't travel from Mumbai to Bengaluru to buy something, right, overnight, but you could buy online from a seller in Bengaluru. So a lot of these factors put together, as well as the riding middle class with disposable income levels. Now, disposable income levels means that we could buy discretionary and luxury products, which was not possible a few years ago. But now there's an increasing number of middle class households in India who have a substantial or an increase in disposable income levels. So all these are giving rise to people wanting to buy more and buy more online. India will grow at over 8% over the next decade and hence achieve higher growth rates. So this overall growth rate of India's economy will increase the income levels for households and the disposable income, which we spoke about. So people can buy more stuff, discretionary luxury goods and services online. So more travel online, because the disposable income, you could plan a vacation with friends and family. You could buy maybe a second television set for your home. You already have a laptop and a smartphone. Maybe you want a tablet as well. So you can now buy that, because your disposable income allows you to buy discretionary products and services. So the growth of the middle class will be a key in driving this transformation. And then, because of the COVID pandemic, there is a change in the shopping habits, both in India and globally. People are more comfortable buying online, and hence the switch to buying all categories of goods and services from either websites or social profiles or mobile apps. This here, you could look at a visual representation of the growth in the middle class population. So if you see, in the last 3 years, the compound annual growth rate in the middle income population is about 8.5%. And even the share of the income of middle class has been rising steadily. So more disposable income, more people in the middle class segment means more people willing to buy online, both necessary goods and services and discretionary goods and services as well. Now here you have a statewide middle class population distribution. So the percentage of middle class in a few Indian states, Karnataka being in the top at 68%, then you have UP, you have Maharashtra, Telangana, Bihar, and the all India average is about somewhere less than 50%. And this is increasing. So more and more people with income levels to look at products that they want. They don't need, but they want. And that opens up the segment for a lot of players. So if people were only buying necessary goods like groceries or insurance, people maybe making discretionary products like t-shirts and sneakers and decorative items, they will not find buyers. But since people have disposable income and they see other people buying certain good-looking stuff, which they don't need, but they just want to own something good, hence there are more and more sellers who can come online and sell these products and services to the rising middle class population in India. Now these, if you look at, is the disposable income growth. You could see there is a steady increase in the disposable income growth for Indian population in the last 10 years or so. And this will continue to rise, with India expecting to grow at 8% or more in the next one decade. Now here again you see some statistics for the changing face of Indian consumer. So you have comparisons across 3 years. So you have charts where it shows you the affluent households as a percentage of the overall population in India, how that has increased between 2015 and the estimated increase up till 2025. So this is a steady increase, and there are a lot of reasons which put together are giving and are bringing about this change and growth in, for example, even the age. India is supposed to have the youngest working population in the world, and that is helping households increase their average income. So there are more and more people in the working age group, and hence they are independent and they have the decision-making ability and the choice to buy things that they need and that they want. So rise of the affluent middle class will be one of the biggest key factors for industry and e-commerce growth in India. So by 2025, the affluent consumer segment will become the largest, according for about 40% of all Indian consumption. This was somewhere about 25-26% in 2015. So from about 26% in 2015, the affluent consumer segment will account for about 40% by 2025. That's in 10 years. So this affluent segment resembles the global middle class consumer and would herald the rise of the middle class. Now this is the affluent segment. people with sizable, significant disposable income to buy products and services that they want to enjoy, that would make them feel convenient and good. So it's not something that you need, but something that improves your overall life standard. You want to travel maybe, but earlier there were fewer people with disposable income to maybe travel every quarter or every year. Now there are people who travel every month, short vacations, long vacations maybe for a couple of times a year. So all this is giving rise to travel as an e-commerce segment. And the same is true for other discretionary segments as well. So there's a shift in spending from basics to more, from basics to discretionary, from basics to luxury spending. So over the past few years, there have been two notable changes in consumer spending patterns in India. The first is a rise in the total amount spent on education, leisure, and telecommunications, driven by both greater demand as well as a change on the supply side. Now, traditionally, Indian households spent more on food and health. But now, even sectors or categories like education, leisure, which includes travel and entertainment, for example, OTT platforms and food segments, or dining out, for example, or going out for movies and vacations, both short-term and long vacations, and telecommunications. So every household, not every household, but most households in the urban areas now have a Wi-Fi connection, right? They all have access to a 4G mobile connection, but they also have a high-speed Wi-Fi or cable internet at their homes. So telecommunication, people are spending on leisure, be it travel, entertainment, dining out, people are spending on education, people are spending on, right? Online education, you could see kids having subscription to online education startups like Byju's or Unacademy or White Hat. So households are spending on what could be termed discretionary categories because their disposable and increased income level allow them to, as well as because there is a supply of such products and services. There are startups who understand that there are people willing to spend on these categories, and hence you have an increase on the supply side as well. The second pattern is the shift towards better and higher price sub-segments in the same historical categories, ranging from food to consumer durables. So even in the traditional categories like food, consumer durables, or health, people are willing to shift towards the premium sub-segments. So these two are two patterns which are the shift in the spending behavior or habits of the Indian population from only basic spending more towards discretionary, luxury, and premium category spending. So the rise of the nuclear family has been a slow and steady phenomenon. Now this is another key factor as you see more and more nuclear families set up, because people moving from villages or tier 2 and tier 3 to tier 1 in urban centers. So the nuclear family setup is increasing in India, and this has been the case over the last two decades or so. The joint family concept is now largely a thing of the past, especially in the large metros. So today nearly 70% of Indian households have a nuclear construct, representing a 13% increase over the past two decades. So 70% of Indian households now are nuclear. So a working couple with their kids. It's not nuclear where you would have uncles, aunts, nephews, cousins staying together in one household. So from a pure consumption point of view, it presents a unique opportunity for businesses. For the same income level, nuclear families spend 20 to 30% higher per person than joint families. So nuclear families spend higher, and 20 to 30% higher per person when you compare them to joint families. So these are sociological factors that are affecting the rise of overall spending habits and the e-commerce industry. Now, online retail in India is estimated to grow over 1,200% to $200 billion. That's almost 13.3 lakh crore Indian rupees. Now, this is up from $15 billion about 6 or 7 years ago. So it's a growth of over 1,200%. So by 2026, online retail will account for 12% of India's overall retail market, which is somewhere around 2.2% today. So the global average is 17%. So India will be catching up with the global average, still way behind countries like China, which are 23%. But this is a sizable increase. So this growth is being driven by a combination of factors, like internet penetration is increasing, telecommunications has become accessible, smartphone penetration is increasing, and there is a flow of credit to consumers and multiple payment options, like people have access to mobile wallets. UPI has been a game changer. So these are a lot of factors which together combined are fueling the growth and the shift in consumer buying patterns. Now, India's e-commerce market size has reached $33 billion over registering a growth of over 19.1% since 2016 and 17. And as we just discussed, it would grow more than 1,200% until 2026, when we estimate the market size in India to be somewhere close to about $200 billion or 13.3 lakh crore Indian rupees. So this growth rate, this estimated growth rate for the Indian e-commerce sector will trail only China and Indonesia in the Asia-Pacific region. As per one estimate, India is expected to be the second largest e-commerce market in the world after China by 2034. That's almost 12 years from now. Right now, China is number one and US is number two. So in about 10 to 12 years, India is estimated to go past United States as the number two e-commerce market size in the world. Now, as we spoke about the increasing disposable income of the urban youth and middle class population. Now, India's youth population, which is at 400 million currently, is growing and fast becoming a driving force behind its evolving mobile economic revolution. We'll have more and more people in the working age group. So more and more earning members in India, earning population in India, who will have the income and the disposable income to spend more on buying both necessary goods and discretionary goods and services as well. So as the fastest and the largest millennial population in the world, the sheer number of India's 18 to 35 year olds will hold significant sway over the country's immediate economic culture. Now, these 18 to 35 year olds, they don't just have the income on their side to spend, they're also more comfortable using new technology. They are ones who have profiles on all social media like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. They are who are an internet first generation. For them, going on the internet and browsing something has been a part of them growing up and learning things. So they're very comfortable using a mobile app or downloading a new mobile app. They don't need help and they don't need assistance. There is no learning involved for them. It's a behavior for them. So they, one, are happy using online stuff, be it websites or be it apps or be it social media. And now, because they fall in the working age bracket, they have disposable incomes to buy online and even sell online. So their embrace of online shopping through mobile devices, bolstered by the rapid expansion of broadband internet availability and reliability, is set to revolutionize the business landscape in India. Now, as we said, in the last 4 to 5 years, internet connectivity in India has improved drastically. If we go back somewhere in 2010, 2015, internet connection was intermittent. It was not reliable. And we were talking about 2G connection. But India moved to 3G, India moved to 4G. The prices of internet connectivity dropped significantly after the entry of Jio as a telecom company. And now you go to any part of India, you have accessible to high speed internet and reliable internet. So the entire experience of buying online is smooth and there are fewer disruptions, and hence people can easily and conveniently shop online. So here you could see the growth of Gen Z population. The Gen Z population, the young population in India, will be more than a third of India's total population in the few years. So this is the generation, as we say, the internet first generation, who are comfortable doing things online. I think more comfortable buying online than having to travel offline and buy stuff from brick and mortar stores. Hence, we will see growth not just in cities like Mumbai, Bangalore, Delhi, Hyderabad or Chennai. We will see growth in India beyond the metros. About 20% of India's population lives in cities outside of metros. This is other than the rural population. So this large group of city dwellers have significant purchase power. Now, if you take an example of Honda as a car company, now Honda sells 60% of its Amaze car in tier 2 and tier 3 cities in India. So out of all the sales for one model, Amaze car by Honda, 60% of sales can be attributed to people living in tier 2 and tier 3 cities. Now, these cities account for 55% of Honda City models. So 55% for Honda City, 60% for Honda Amaze. This shows the income and buying potential of youth and middle class living in cities outside of the major metros in India. So consumer demand is rising rapidly, even in small town cities and even villages. So while metros will remain a staple for marketers and B2B and e-commerce businesses, increasing a rural footprint will be critical when they want to reach out to the newer population who are now going to come online and buy online. So Middle India, a region which is made up of approximately 400 towns, and each town with a population of about 1 to 10 lakhs. So these 400 towns are home to about 100 million Indians. So these cities are now ready to behave like the metros of tomorrow. The infra is improving, logistics is improving, internet connectivity is improving. So now these Middle India cities, which house more than 100 million Indians, can be the metros of tomorrow. So the annual per capita FMCG consumption, fast moving goods like daily usables, of this Middle India town has touched ₹2,800, which is much higher than the national average of about ₹1,600. So these Middle India cities are consuming more than the national average, a little less than double of the national average. The non-metro cities hence offer a huge growth potential for many companies across categories of goods and services. Now, Snapdeal.com, for example, gets over 60% of their sales from tier 2 and beyond. So from outside metros, 60% of the sales are coming from the smaller and middle income towns. So we are seeing growth go beyond major metros in India. Now, there's also a changing technology landscape to thank for the growth of the e-commerce sector in India. First, there's a multi-channel access for buyers. So serving several channels increases a business's reach. Now, if you talk about online first companies, for example, like Lenskart, then eyewear e-commerce company, or Nykaa, the beauty products company, they started off as online first. Even Pepperfry.com, a furniture online retailer. So these online first companies have now also ventured into setting up physical stores. So they are trying to reach out to customer via multiple channels. Even in the edtech space, for example, Byju's had a strategic acquisition of Akash Educational Services. Now, Akash Educational Services has over 160 physical coaching centers across India. So the acquisition gives Byju's the entire range of Akash's presence across India. So now they can reach to students both online and offline, and they could merge it together. Even Unacademy opened up its first physical coaching center in Kota, Rajasthan. Now, Kota is the coaching capital of India. So, Unacademy opened up its first physical coaching center in Kota. So, online first companies are moving offline. Offline first companies are opening up their entire e-commerce stores. So, everybody is trying to offer customers multi-channel and omni-channel buying experiences. Today, now software is capable of working seamlessly. So a customer can maybe buy online and pick up a product offline. Technology allows that. So data from online and offline can be combined. Data from social media, retail store can be combined together to give a unified customer experience, be it multi-channel or omni-channel. So technology is changing the landscape and making it easier for companies to provide this multi-channel experience to their buyers and customers. Then we have artificial intelligence, emergence of blockchain, enhanced consumer experience, because you have so much of data and you could combine data from physical stores, telephone calls, email communication, browsing history on mobile apps. You can offer enhanced personalized experience to consumers. You can have location-specific notifications. For example, a user who uses your mobile app or somebody who has geotagging enabled, if he visits a shopping mall which has a company-specific store, the company could send sale notifications on the user's mobile. So location-specific notification makes targeting easier to send offer and consumers. Then there are localization of internet content. So you could use YouTube maybe to send localized ads to consumers. So a person living in, for example, a particular locality of Mumbai can get localized advertisements served when they are watching videos on YouTube. Technology is really a game changer for the e-commerce industry. Now, there's also a fintech revolution, and UPI has been a game changer. There's a growing usage of debit cards, credit cards, and payment wallets for cashless transactions, not online, even offline. As I said, you could even go ahead and pay for a cup of tea by scanning a QR code. You could buy groceries by scanning QR codes. You could buy laptops scanning QR codes, both offline and online. You don't need a credit card for that. So UPI has been a game changer. Other homegrown digital payment firms like Paytm, PhonePe, MobiKwik, and FreeCharge, they are all UPI enabled, and these are getting popular. Google has ventured with Google Pay. Amazon has Amazon Pay. WhatsApp has a payment wallet. Now, Paytm, India's largest online payments and mobile wallet company, has invested more than 5,000 crores in mobile payments to date. So startups, companies, and these payment behemoths understand the growth potential and the expected market size. So there's a lot of investment in customer acquisition. There's a lot of investment in improving the payments technology. Now, India has developed a national payment structure, UPI, as I said, which is world class. It's made easier. I know a lot of people who don't carry their wallets. The smartphone is as good as a physical wallet in today's age. So UPI crossed the $1 trillion mark in transaction values for the financial year 2021-22. So $1 trillion worth of transaction. And this includes both online and offline, because you could even visit physical stores and pay via UPI. You can peer-to-peer money transfer happens on UPI. So UPI put together, online and offline, crossed the $1 trillion mark. That's a huge achievement in moving towards more and more cashless financial transactions in India. Now, with estimated investment of nearly $2 billion in logistics and warehouses by 2020, the reach of online retailers to deliver the products in the remote locations has increased. So logistics was a major hurdle. If a company, for example, in Mumbai wanted to sell somebody in a remote village in, say, Manipur or Assam or somewhere down in Kerala, it requires good logistics, movement of goods and storage of goods, and the last mile delivery. That has improved significantly in the last 7 to 8 years. So a company anywhere in India can sell to a customer anywhere else in the country. That has been a huge catalyst for the growth of e-commerce and even other industries in the country. So online retailers are trying to tie up with even India Post and even petrol pump stations to reach out to more customers. Now, India Post, in the pre-e-commerce or pre-internet era, has post offices in the remotest part of the country. So they have a well-established physical network with manpower, which e-commerce players can take leverage of, and they are doing just that. So instead of relying on new age delivery partners who are primarily present in only tier one cities or metro, India Post is available, present in the remotest of corners with your local postman, aware of the different lanes, different houses, pin codes and addresses. So they can reach to anybody and everybody in India using the vast India Post network, and companies are doing that. Here you could see the growth in internet penetration. So one, the green is the urban growth, the red is the rural growth, and alongside there's an interesting representation of the plummeting prices of the data cost per gigabyte. This is the data that we access on our smartphones. So going back a few years, per gigabyte costed more than 300 rupees or 250 Indian rupees. That cost per gigabyte has come down to less than 15 rupees. Now, if you look at the growing consumption of OTT content, watching IPL matches on your smartphone or any other sports on movies or OTT shows, the consumption has increased. So if the cost had remained constant, people would not have been able to spend so much to watch their favorite shows and videos and IPL matches. So hence, a reduction in cost was necessary. And the revolution in the telecom industry, primarily because of increased competition, because Reliance ventured in the industry with the launch of Jio, has significantly reduced, and India today has one of the lowest global tariffs when it comes to telecommunications and internet data. And this is 4G, reliable and highly connected network across the country. So, and then the major factor, especially since 2020, has been the change in consumer behavior and the change in shopping habits, all because of the COVID pandemic. The COVID pandemic induced lockdown, restrictions, and closure of physical shops and stores. The COVID-19 pandemic, which started from 2020, March and April, forced everyone to change the way they shop. The stores were shut. If you had to order groceries, or maybe since schools were moving online, if you wanted to order an additional laptop or tablet or smartphone, the only way to do that was shop online. So whether a person was an online shopper before the pandemic or not, the only option now was to go ahead on the laptop, on a website or a mobile app and place an order online. So the pandemic educated people how to go ahead and transact online and buy whatever they need. So e-commerce and contactless payments are now here to stay, because now people are used to buying online. They're now aware of the ease, the convenience to buy from anywhere in the world, and this behavior hence will continue. And thanks to the rise in multiple categories like grocery, food delivery, travel, insurance, education, investment in shares and mutual funds, there are so many categories which has become a learning experience and a convenient way for people in India to shop online. So consumers are now more accustomed to using their phones everywhere, and then shopping has now become a byproduct. You can shop at midnight, you can shop while taking your morning walk or while having your breakfast. So we will be witnessing a huge growth in the e-commerce sector because of the number of factors such as demographic changes, technology innovations, increase in disposable income, and the general human tendency of consumption and the habit changes post-COVID pandemic in India. Thank you very much.